Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Message Podcast of Friends Church. My name is Gregory and I'm one of the team members here, and we're so glad that you're joining us. It's been really encouraging to hear stories from people all over the country and the world who are listening in. We really do hope that our messages are resonating with you. We also wanted to say a quick thank you to those who are contributing to Friends Church. All of the things that we're able to do is because of people who donate regularly. Even small, consistent gifts help a lot. If you haven't had a chance to give yet, I would encourage you to maybe think about doing that, especially if it's been beneficial in your journey. To do that, it's really easy. Just go to the website, friendschurch.ca, and click the Donate tab. Or better yet, download our Friends Church app and click on the Give tab. Thanks so much for tuning in, and enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, Friends Church. It's Jeff, and I am delighted to be able to introduce you to a longstanding friend of Friends Church, to myself personally. Her name is Lauren Raymore. She's the program director of Connections, an agency in the city that we have been partnering with for many years. Lauren, we were chatting about it earlier. I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is year 12 of our partnership with Connections, and there hasn't been 1 year that we ever looked back and said, oh man, why are we doing this with Connections? Has been so amazing in what you're doing. And so this morning I thought it would be great if we could just, first of all, show your face to our community so they could get to know you a little bit better too, but to have you explain a little bit about Connections and about the Christmas Hamper Initiative that we're a part of every year. Sure. First of all, welcome.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for asking me to come and do this with you, Jeff.
It's an honor.
I'm sad that we can't do it in person, but things are different this year. So we just go with the flow.
Let's hope this would be the only year that we end up doing this.
I agree. I'll give you a little bit of background on Connections. We've been around. This is our 30th anniversary year. And I am the founder. And I started it 30 years ago. I had a one-year-old and I was 7 months pregnant, had nothing else to do. And so I thought I'd start a nonprofit.
Congratulations on 30 years.
Yeah, it's pretty special and pretty amazing. I started it. I've always worked in the disability field and have been doing that for close to 40 years. And we provide lifelong support to families where the parent has a cognitive disability. The child may or may not have challenges, but the parent must have some kind of a disability learning challenge. They may have fetal alcohol syndrome, something that requires them to need specialized support in a way that they best understand. Our support is lifelong, so we will work with families as long as they want us around. We have some families we've been working with for over 25 years.
Wow.
I've been at the hospital when a child's given birth, and I've been at their high school graduation.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, and a lot of our families are discriminated against because they have cognitive challenges, so there's a kind of underlying expectation that they can't be successful. But given with a little bit of help, they can be very successful parents. And we help them we go in the home, we help with the parenting piece, we'll help them if they have to go to doctor's appointments, if they require support around schooling for their children. We do the parenting plus any parallel skills to help them be the best parents they can be.
Lauren, are these families, are they struggling financially typically?
All of them. I think we currently support about 110 families, and of those 110 families, there's only two of them that don't struggle financially.
Really?
So they all live below poverty line. They typically live in subsidized housing. They don't have enough money to make ends meet. So often they're looking at, do I pay my electricity bill or do I put food on the table? So that's where the hampers come in, because the generosity that Friends Church offers, not only with gifts and food and gift cards, they can really stretch that out and really provide them with so much support. We have so many families that don't have the ability to put gifts under the tree at Christmas time. They don't have the ability to put a nice Christmas meal together for their family. And it's very difficult and stressful for all of them. So these hampers just go... I can't express how important they are to make a family, a total difference in a family, and really make a family's Christmas.
You know, the other day we were, because there's so many people that normally would show up here on Sundays and take cards off the trees. This year, because of COVID, we've moved it all online. And, you know, there are so many years, I didn't necessarily see all the cards, all the requests, all the lists. But this year, because we're working so much and getting everything all set up online, I read through almost every one of the family's requests. And so my son and I are kind of reading through this. And I was saying, I want to pick out a family for us. And I saw one dad whose request for his Christmas present was stocking stuffers for his kids.
Yeah.
It just killed me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think is so telling of the people we support. They're with us because we're voluntary, and they're with us because they recognize the need for support. They recognize that they want to do better, because so many of them grew up in very traumatic homes and they didn't have what they want to be able to give their children now. Yeah. So putting their children's needs first is something that we see all the time, which is what we all do as parents. But when it's such basic things like a stocking that we can all afford to do, but they can't even afford to do that. I'm a crier, as Jeff knows. And so here we go. Every year when he shows up at the office, I start the waterworks.
You know, I just want to say how delighted we are to be able to play some kind of role in a very important cause like this and to partner with these families. We're so proud of the work that you're doing with them and proud of them in the way that they're fighting to make ends meet and making it work. And so the part that we play, though it's small in the grand scheme of things, of everything that you're doing, we just want to say thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. And thank you to you and your team for the great work you're doing. We can't wait to roll in with that big truck and unload all those hampers on the 21st.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. We'll see you on the 21st.
Friends Church.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Anyone feeling like every feeling about Christmas right now? Like, geez, what the heck is this thing going to look like this year? My wife has two boys and, you know, they live in a different household. Do we get to spend time with them? We rented a place to get together as a family. Are we going to be able to go there? Is this going to be me and Ellie and McDonald's Christmas Day? I don't know. The whole world's just going to burn itself down? Everyone's just going to like break all the rules and just have this massive party? I don't know what's going to happen. And I was kind of sitting in a bit of a funk, maybe. Part of it is, if you work in my job, you plan a Christmas series every year for like 15 years. Do you know how hard it is to get something new to say 15 years in a row? And I was reading through the Christmas story again, and I had this kind of attitude where I was like, geez, like, same crap, different day, whatever, right? I just got this horrible mood. And I read what's called the Magnificat. It's a poem that's attributed to Mary. And I heard in her voice, knowing what I know, knowing the history of where this is set right after their city has basically been destroyed. Their religion has been decimated. Their sacred spots are no longer inhabitable. They're hiding at home scared. And I went, holy crap. She's writing from right now. And there's something beautiful knowing that we're not alone. There's people who have navigated insane, insane world events. And they wrote down their best stories. So starting at the end of November, I think the 29th, we're going to start exploring kind of the wisdom of our forefathers and say, how is it that one navigates something like this in the Christmas tradition? Because I don't know about you, but I need some help navigating this sucker, right? So I would encourage you, starting the 29th, come on out. Let's do this work together, okay? Go ahead, Trevor.
Oh, my goodness. What a fun morning, eh? Like, holy smokes. Tough act to follow, Vince. Yes, we're not going to have Christmas the way we want to have it this year. I feel like I should be throwing a temper tantrum. And do you remember those kids? What did our temper tantrum get us? Usually scolded from our parents and often not what we wanted to get. This hasn't been fun for anyone in particular. I haven't enjoyed COVID very much either. I didn't have this on my list this year. Anybody? No one in the crowd either. Okay, good. No one planned for a pandemic. So we have to adjust. Listening to a really good speaker, Chris Hadfield. By the way, he's probably the only person who you always want to watch his travel pictures. You know, when you got the planet there, it's like, yeah, that's a pretty good picture. And he said, problems always look really big when we're dealing with them right now. That's the lens of history, though. It's like, oh, that was that generation's issue. We'll get through this. And Friends Church is a really good place to do that at. This is where we get a little bit better. Look at this. We're getting ready for our Christmas story, and we're like, oh, how can we be kinder through other people who aren't doing this? Like, we're helping be better ourselves so we can be better for the world. And that's a really awesome thing. Part of supporting Friends Church is just doing exactly what you do. You guys have been awesome through this COVID. Like, we've still be financially solid. That's an awesome thing, because not every other organization is having that happen. So thank you for that. Keep supporting us. We're a really, really good cause. And I hope that you get some chances to get a couple deep breaths, go through this. Remember, temper tantrums are fun in the moment, but they don't generally get you what you want. So let's find out how we can adulting our way up through the situation. Now, I did ask Jeff before he started, because if we don't get the energy level to where he needs to be, I said, Jeff, there's nothing tragic starting this message. He said, no, because I'm like, if something would have tragically happened, what I'm going to ask you guys to hopefully help me with wouldn't do so good. Can I have you guys all, if you'd be willing to stand up, if we could stand, just thank you, and do something that we haven't done before, which is a standing ovation for Jeff as he comes in and gives us this message. Woo!
Please be seated. Please be seated. Yes, what a good audience. Sure. Good morning, everyone. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I love this thing. I got this cell phone here. It's kind of the wrong thing, right? You're never supposed to admit to even liking these devices. But it almost never ceases to amaze me how helpful this thing really is in my life. I'll speak for me. It's my alarm. It is my hiking navigator. It's my weatherman person. It tells me when I need to leave for a meeting, how long I'm going to get there, how long it'll take to get there. It's my health consultant. It tells me to drink more water. Every now and then it'll pop up and say, hey, Jeff, take some deep breaths. At night, it leads me in meditation before I'm getting ready to bed. It tips me off and tells me it's some of your birthdays. It says, Jeff, drop him a note, say hi, and wish him a happy birthday. It also tips me off when tragic things have happened. Someone's lost a loved one, pet, whatever. It says, maybe you should say something. Oh, good idea. Creates moments of laughter. This community I'm a part of, they send me laughs throughout the day. We all need those. And I find myself imagining us sitting in a room at the time when I'm watching this video clip or something stupid going down, and imagining that person who sent it to me laughing as I'm laughing at it. My kids, we're on this group chat, Kathy and my boys. They send me stuff, articles, podcasts they're listening to. It's almost like I've been able to see into their world just by reading and watching some of the stuff that's resonating for them. We have an extended family chat. I've never really talked much with my wife's family, extended family that are in different parts of the world, but through this group chat, I hear their kind of regular comments and reactions to the world in real time. I feel like I know them better now because of WhatsApp. You? You like this? You're giving me the stink eye right now. No, I don't. Yeah, that's the right answer, isn't it? No to technology. Yeah, right. One of my favorite questions is asking people, what app has become like the go-to for you? Like, what is yours that you just go, oh man, if I didn't have this app, can't imagine life without it. It's always interesting the different things that the people tell me. What apps they use? I go, I've never heard of that. You haven't heard of that? No, I haven't. You need this one. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that only in like just a little over 2 decades, this thing has become literally glued to everyone's hip across the planet. A friend of mine texted me a couple months ago, I think it was a couple months ago anyways, saying, have you seen this Social Dilemma? I said, what's that? He's like, check it out. It's a documentary on Netflix. You got to watch it. And as it happened, we were just sitting there. I said, Kathy, have you heard of the Social Dilemma? She goes, no, I never heard of it. I said, Adam's recommending it. Let's turn this on. So we watched it. If you haven't seen it, I'd highly recommend it. They're saying that it's literally one of, if not the biggest documentary ever viewed on Netflix. 38 million views in like a very short amount of time. The film explores the rise of social media and the damage it's causing to society, focusing on its exploitation of users. It introduces us to concepts like surveillance, capitalism, data mining, how social media's design is meant to nature addiction, or nurture, sorry, how it's being misused in politics, and its role in helping the spread of conspiracy theories, encouraging greater polarization amongst our communities, division. One of the most disturbing parts was the way they described its effects on people's mental health, particularly adolescence and its role in teenage suicide, the rising rate of teenage suicide right now. They go ahead and interview in this documentary a number of former high-ranking officers within the world's largest social media platforms and online platforms, for that matter. Google, Facebook, YouTube, like a whole bunch. Warning each of them, now no longer with those companies, but now they're warning of the dark agenda that these companies have to steal our attention through artificial intelligence, using these algorithms that get to know our patterns, our way of thinking, the things we like, the things we don't like. And they do this for their own profit. When they begin showing just how powerful and insightful these algorithms are, they have this, and if you've seen it, this kind of this metaphor of these three guys sitting in this control booth, watching screens, and they kind of pick on one particular person out on the internet who happens to be watching, and they begin using their tools at their disposal to hook that person. It was done so vividly, it shook me up. I mean, as I'm watching it, this is turning more and more from a documentary into a horror movie. And I'll tell you why. Because everything I was watching, I'm doing. It's like they were just talking about me. Like they figured out my code. And it's like I could be doing something, and then they go, oh no, hey, try this. And they got the hook in my mouth, and they're pulling me over to focus on something they want me to focus on. That week, I'm listening to a Joe Rogan podcast. Joe's a well-known comedian, big podcaster. And he brings up the Social Dilemma, and I can hear it in his voice. He is shook up like I'm shook up. He's going, this social media is crazy. It's destroying people's lives. It was interesting, from the time that I heard him say that in one particular podcast, he has then since had at least two different guests. One of them, Tristan Harris, who's actually in the documentary, Social Dilemma, speaking to some of the different things that we saw in that documentary. Most recently, just on Friday or Thursday, another podcast dropped where he interviewed another guy talking about the addictive nature of technology today. His name is Adam Alter. Adam Alter wrote the book Irresistible, The Rise of Addictive Technology in Business, Keeping Us Hooked. That interview is absolutely terrifying. Terrifying. And I'm not just specific to social media. That one specifically about the gaming culture. Online gaming and how it is more powerful than some of those powerful drugs that we have available to us. Oh. This is what we do know right now. The average person checks their phone 58 times a day. For people between the ages of 18 to 24, the average is closer to 90. 90 times a day. On average, we spend more than 5 hours a day on our phones. Yeah. That's 35 hours a week. That's 140 hours a month. That's 70 full 24 hours per day per year. 70. Teens will spend 7.5 hours a day on their phones. Do the math. That's almost 3 full months of the year, 24/7. 80% of us will check our phones within a half hour of waking up. 50% of us will check our phones in the middle of the night. Among 24 to 34-year-olds, they say 75% of you will check your phones in the middle of the night. This I couldn't believe. 1 out of 10 adults admit to checking their phone during sex. What? It's like, whoa, okay. I had to double check that stat. And then I asked Kathy. Two-thirds of adults polled agreed that unplugging or doing a digital detox would be a healthy thing. But only a quarter of that, of those people, have actually done it. That's interesting. My current belief is that the cell phone, may be one of the most socially acceptable addictions on the planet right now. And most of us are completely unaware of just how negative of an impact it may be having on you and, if you have a family, on your family. Please don't think for a second that I'm standing up here on some soapbox condescendingly looking down at you poor suckers that are bitten by this thing. The truth is, I have a problem. And I'm in the process of finding help. But my guess is that there might be someone else listening to me this morning who might need some help too. And I want to share with you what I've been learning over this last little while in hopes that it might help you too. I'm worried that we're going to wake up one day and wish like hell that we had taken some course correction before it was too late, before everything changed. I've been talking to some recently about kind of this message, some of the stuff that I want to talk about, and they were pretty quick to point out the real evil is not our phones, Jeff. It's social media. And I think that's where I started. But I've read a lot over the last month. And though I couldn't agree more that many of the effects that social media is having on our society is really dark and disturbing, I'm not convinced that just removing Instagram and Facebook from your account, from your phone, is going to solve your problems. And I'll show you why. So while I'll speak this morning to some of the technology that social media is using, I'm going to widen this conversation out to anyone who owns a smartphone. Actually, you know what? Anyone that's using electronic devices right now. Because you're going to realize that the tools that some of the social media people are using, all the electronics companies are tying in. It's important that we maybe just begin with some simple questions about your own cell phone use. Can we do that? Here's just a little test. This is the first thing I actually did in this process, heard about this test. Let me ask you a question. Has the amount of time that you've been spending on your smartphone, has it been increasing? Would you know? Do you sleep with your cell phone turned on and around your bed? Do you find yourself viewing email, texts, social media, whatever, at all times of the night and day, even if it means interrupting other things that you're doing? Do you ever text, email, tweet, Snapchat, Facebook, message, surf the internet while driving? Do you feel your use of your phone decreases your productivity at times? Do you feel reluctant to be without your phone, even for a short amount of time? You get ready to go to the bathroom and you reach for your phone? Do you feel ill at ease or uncomfortable if you leave your smartphone in the car or at home or out of the surface area? Or if it stops working, heaven forbid? When you eat meals, is your smartphone a part of the table setting? When your cell phone rings or it beeps, do you feel an intense urge to check the text, the tweet, the email, the update, and so on? Do you find yourself mindlessly checking your cell phone and smartphone or smartphone many times a day, even when you know there's likely nothing new or important to see? There's 10 questions there I just threw out. They say if you've answered 5 out of the 10, you're nurturing an addiction. I answered all 10. And much more of it more recently than I want to admit. So I began looking into ways that this could get fixed, that I could change. So I started reading. I've read a number of books on the subject, but there was one book in particular that really, I mean, this is good. I'll put my stamp on this one all day long. It's by Catherine Price called How to Break Up with Your Phone. I needed a breakup is what I needed. She spent a lot of time talking about dopamine addiction. Now, I know that this isn't new to most of you. If you've been around here, we've talked a lot about the role dopamine plays in our lives. If you've been in any form of recovery, likely you know the ins and outs of this thing. But basically, in order to maximize the amount of time that we spend on our devices, designers out there are manipulating our brain chemistry to trigger addictive behavior. That's the short end of it. Most of these techniques involve a brain chemical called dopamine, which makes us feel excited and pleasure. It's a pleasure drug. It makes us feel good. If an experience consistently triggers the release of dopamine, pleasure, our brains actually remember the cause and the effect. They begin to realize and associate that which gave us that pleasure with the action that it took to get it. In fact, our brain will release dopamine even in anticipation of whatever it is that we're going to do that we think will give us the pleasure, even before we do it. If your brain learns that checking your phone usually results in a reward, it won't take long before your brain releases dopamine anytime it's reminded of your phone. That's why you can be sitting there and watch someone climb on their phone and instantly you go, oh, where's my phone? I want to check mine. It's already sending the signal, good things will come to you right now if you reach for that phone. Interestingly, these rewards can be both positive and negative. Sometimes we reach for our phones out of hope that there will be something good waiting for us, but just as often, we'll reach for our phones to help us avoid something unpleasant, such as boredom or anxiety. I can't tell you the number of times I've woken up in the middle of the night and I've got a scene playing through my head. I've got something I'm worried about, something stressful that's gone on or that I'm anticipating, and I will turn over and grab my phone. Not that it's going to fix the problem, but as a means of escape, as something to get my mind off it. Like lab rats learning that by hitting a lever they get food, we hit the phone for comfort, for distraction, for escape. It was interesting, a 60 Minutes interview in 2017, Ramsey Brown, he runs Dopamine Labs. That's their company. These guys are the geniuses that create brain hacking code for app companies. He described their goal as being that to keep people glued to an app as long as possible by figuring out when the app should do something to make you feel a little extra awesome. And you feel it, and then you keep going. Oh, and you keep going. That's why our phones are packed with subtle positive reinforcements that trigger dopamine. You touch a link, oh, look at that, a web page appears. You send a text and you hear that satisfying whoosh. I was filling out a passcode for my bank and all of a sudden I feel the vibration saying, you're in. I go, oh, it worked. Felt good. They give us a sense of control that makes them hard to put down. By the way, you want to know what other machine uses these same kinds of intermittent rewards to drive compulsive behavior? Slot machines. In fact, the similarities between the two devices are so uncanny that smartphone insiders, they call these little things pocket slots. So pleasure is one reason why we turn to these things, but there is another reason, and that is anxiety. Our phones deliberately incite anxiety by providing new information or emotional triggers every time we pick them up, which makes us worried that any time we put them down, we might miss out on something, right? The non-technical term for this is FOMO, right? We laugh about this, the fear of missing out, but this is a very real and powerful drug. Up until smartphones, we never had any way of really knowing what we were missing out on. But now we can get updates on everything that's happening in real time, which creates a new level of anxiety that humanity has never experienced before. And that is, why would you be doing what you're doing right now when you could be over here? And look at, yeah, that's neat what you're doing right now, but look at what so-and-so is doing right now. Not only do smartphones make it easy for us to find out about the things we're missing, but through notifications, they spray FOMO at us like a COVID sneeze. Highly infectious, all right? They let us know. We can become so convinced. The only way to protect ourselves is to consistently checking our phones to make sure we're not missing out on anything. And this isn't just social media, folks. It could be the stock market update. It could be a political news feed. It could be a live auction. It could be a dating app. It could be an online game you've been playing with friends, and on and on and on. These notifications, oh, the ways in which these devices are intruding into our lives and messing with things. I could go on and on. The list is way too long. I mean, I could have devoted some time this morning to talk about the impact on our work lives, what they call this focused state of distraction. How's that for an oxymoron? They create this focused state of distraction. When you are focused on something at work and all of a sudden something goes off and you check your phone, they say the time that's wasted in the process of you leaving what you were doing to focus on something completely unrelated and then get back to it, they say it's about a 25-minute gap before you get back into the flow again. Now, you take 58 times per day or 90 times and you start thinking why we're not getting a lot done. Could talk about that. I could talk about the way it's killing our attention spans, the way it's messing with our memory. You wonder why you can't remember much anymore? That is a real thing. I could spend a lot of time talking about the way that these things are messing with our sleep patterns. But I don't have the time, and I think you are getting the point. Chances are likely you've got your own stories that you could share this morning that are cause for concern. So what do you do? What do you do with the problem? Well, the book that I recommended to you, she offers a whole raft of them. In fact, 30 days, one tip every day to break up with your phone, to just change and build a healthier relationship with it. But I want to share three things that I've done or am in the process of doing that is making a difference. It's making a massive difference in me. No matter who you're reading, they all talk about the first and massive step to a healthy relationship with our device, and that is awareness. If you are not aware of the problem you got, you're screwed. It will never start if you don't think you got a problem. And maybe you don't. And if you don't, I want to tell you something. Well done. You're among the 0.0005% of the world's population. You don't have an issue with this thing. I celebrate with you. But if you're not, awareness is key. To become more aware of why you're picking up your phone, that there is the gold. Why are you reaching for this thing? One writer recommended you ask yourself continually, why are you reaching for that thing? Whoa, why, Jeff? Why are you reaching for it right now? Why are you doing that? This question, as I began asking myself, it became so powerful, I did this. I put it right on my home screen. Do you have that image there? This is what I see. First thing, as soon as I grab my phone, why are you picking me up? I'm telling you that question more often than not. As soon as I look at it, I go, wait, why? Why am I? I've learned that sometimes I'll be at work and I'll be writing and all of a sudden, I'm frustrated. It's not working. Something's not happening. And what do? Boop. I'm going to just do this for a bit. Make myself feel better. You don't know the number of times I've caught myself going, oh, wait, why did I just pick you up? No good reason. Oh, jeez. Know why you're reaching for that thing. Is it trying to make you feel good? You trying to escape something you don't like doing right now? Like, maybe you're reaching for it for a good reason. And if that's the case, pick it up and get busy. Because there's many good reasons, like I told you before, many good reasons to be using this thing. Secondly, I realized that I have to learn more about my patterns and my volume of usage. Understanding your patterns is a big piece of this. If someone would have told me that the average person is on their phone between 4 and 5 hours a day, I would have been horrified. I heard the gasps earlier. That was until I started tracking my screen time. Found out that I'm over 6 hours a day. I can't tell you how horrified I was when I saw that number. And embarrassed. But I'm realizing it's not about shame. That only makes things worse. It is what it is. It's about awareness for me. And the more I am aware and the more conscious I am of my choices of why I'm reaching for this thing, the quicker I can prevent the runaway. I want to say this again. This device is so helpful. And many times when I'm turning to it, it is making life better. It's helping us get stuff done. I have no regrets about that, but there is the other time. And of those 6 hours, I'm beginning to realize how much time is the other time. my son showed me how to put this little time tracker on my phone. Little widget you can do real easy. If you got iPhone, I'm not sure how it works on Android, but all you have to do is get onto your home screen where all your apps are. Hold down the screen, all of a sudden your apps start going zzz, whatever, and they start vibrating, you know, and you go up into the corner, there's a little plus sign, hit the plus, you type in screen time, boom, there's the app, hit it, boom, and it pops on your screen. And it looks like that. So I know my number. I reach for it right now, I'm at 1 hour and 46 minutes already. Last thing I'll mention. Know how much of your time you're spending and where you're spending it. Secondly, last thing I'll mention to you is that I've been spending a lot of time thinking about these notifications. Notifications, I can be in the middle of a conversation with someone and all of a sudden I see the light up on my phone. Or I hear the little ding. Or I feel a vibration in my pocket. And the number of times my mind just goes blank thinking, I wonder who that was. I wonder if that's God. Oh, I wonder. And it just takes me into another place. All I can do is imagine what might be waiting for me on that phone. You ever felt that? Ever felt the pull? Going, oh, check it. But no, that would be rude. Oh. Try something. Go onto your phone and turn off all the notifications. Except for your phone, and you know what? If you're in a job that needs text, leave text on. Turn off all the other notifications. And you don't have to do this permanently. But turn them all off, and then only turn the ones back on that you're realizing you really miss. You'll be shocked. How few you go, geez, I'm really needing to know about WhatsApp. If you're addicted to email, they recommend disabling your email notifications, the ding, even the red light that shows up that says you got mail. You got someone that you absolutely must always be ready right on the spot when you receive an email. Okay, fine, you can set your notifications to make sure that you only get the notification when they send it to you. Leave the rest there so that you go to your email when you have time, when you want to. No one's telling you about these notification adjustments that you can make. They don't want you doing them. But they already know that those who opt in the notifications on average will launch their app 3 times more than everyone else who doesn't. Notifications are powerful. They're the drug. They're the thing that says, hey, quit focusing over there. Come over here. And you go, okay. Oh, okay, yeah. Every ding, every vibration, every red bubble that our phone sends triggers the chemical responses in our brain that pulls us away from whatever it is that you were doing. To focus on something someone else wants you to focus on. That hooks in the mouth and they're just cranking us around. Notifications, time tracking, and awareness. Why are you picking up this thing? That's all I got time to talk about this morning. I'm worried. You know, back in the early 1900s, smoking became the rage. Everyone starts smoking. It's cool. I've heard stories, doctors are even recommending pregnant women smoke, takes the edge off. Now we're horrified at all the consequences of that whole era. All the people that have died because of that thing. All the ways that that thing has hurt society. My fear is, right now, while the science is still so early on, that we are going to be not so far into the future looking back at this era of unbridled technology use with such regret. The families that have been laid waste, relationships lost, time that's been wasted. If I'm at 6 hours, now lately I've been getting it down to about 4 hours. But let's just say I eliminate two of those 4 hours to spend on stuff I really want to do. Rather than having this thing bolted to my hip, sitting at every dinner table, looking down, cutting people off as they're talking to me, watching Zombieland at home. What if we could turn that around and restore life to the way it was maybe only 10 years ago? I don't know. And that's my goal for me. I don't know where you sit on all this, but I hope that if maybe you got this inkling that maybe your relationship with your phone isn't as healthy as you'd like, you might consider making a few changes. Reclaim the time to make our world better with the time we got. Let's not let someone else decide who gets our attention. All right. It's kind of sobering. Yeah. My prayer is that every one of us spends our time the way we truly want to. You truly want to. Not the way some guy down in San Fran wants you to. Let's make our world better this week, eh? All right, next week, we're talking about the power balance, power imbalance. Vince is up. It's going to be awesome. The final week of this series, Let the Comic Speak. We hope you will, go online. There's some books I recommended, The Irresistible, How to Break Up with Your Phone, these podcasts. I'll warn you about the vulgarity of Joe. Hey, look, I can't speak for everything, but man, I'm telling you, the guy's onto some stuff on these podcasts. So listen past that stuff, all right? Let's get busy. Let's make our world better. Have a great week, everyone. See ya.